Good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen. This is Thomas, Fritz, and Peter speaking. Welcome to the first half financials. I'm starting right now with page three, executive summary, first half. We have still a very, very challenging market environment. However, volumes are on track. And we have a very successful excellence program, as well as a very successful startup of our TENCEL plant. As you see, without going now point by point, but when I say volumes on track, 8% up, almost 36,000 tons. And we expect, after a quite successful startup and commissioning of our TENCEL plant, that in the second half we are able to produce and to sell 30,000 tons of TENCEL. However, this is one negative point. We have a further price decrease, even from the fourth quarter to the second to the first quarter, and from the second quarter to the first quarter. Average, however, for the first half is 154, after 156 in first quarter and 152 in the second quarter. So that is reflected in a 12.5% decrease in fiber prices if we compare first half of 2013 with 176 to 154. And Thomas then will in detail explain, but if you just take the calculator, you will realize that this is a further reduction just mathematically of more than 200 million euro. Not only on turnover, but also on EBITDA. Well, we are reporting here on not on like-for-like sales. Therefore, sales are down from 990 to 900. Please be aware that in the first half of 2013, we still had the plastics business with a 61 million on turnover. So if you want to compare like for like, it looks a little bit different. It's just 4% less. We are very successful, I have to say, in improving the product mix, in pushing nonwovens, in increasing sales in Modal, and in the preparation of a full nameplate capacity sale of TENCEL for next year. However, we have not been possible to compensate for the price decline, not on the improvement of the mix and neither on the increase of the sales volume. Thomas will then elaborate on the excellence program, which works out very, very successfully. You will see that we even in a position to speed up the program, as well as to overachieve and overperform on that what we had originally in our plan, both for 2014 as well as for 2015. And the EBIT and EBIT you have seen, no need to repeat. Thomas also will go in detail, as well as on the cash flow. We have more than on the further charts. But the first half worked out both balance sheet-wise, net debt-wise, as well as trading working capital and other cash flow figures, as I have to say, as expected. I'm now moving to page four, because I think it is very important to give you a comparison between Q1 and Q2. Why? Because you will see that Q1 and Q2 at least from EBITDA, EBIT, as well as from net income, is almost the same, which means that it is a quite stable situation earnings-wise. So sales, of course, if we compare Q2 2013 to Q2 2014, almost 8% up, 17,000 tons, and that does not yet include that a lot of TENCEL that only comes then in the second half. However, if you compare again The sales price is 152 to 175 is 23 cents. If you put that on a number of 950,000 tons, again, you get to the same turnover decrease as well as EBITDA reduction. Sales almost on the same level, as I mentioned, EBITDA on the same level as Q1, EBIT more or less on the same level. Of course, not comparable to the excellent, I would say still, let not say excellent, but still good figures of the first half, respectively second quarter of 2013. We're trying to compensate that to the maximum with excellence. You all know that we had expectation and plans to save 60 millions in 2014. And another 60 million in 2015. Now we are, after 2 or 3 months ago when we talked last time, we say that we are now at 80 plus. Now we can tell you that we are at 90. Well, from the 60 to the 90, that's almost 50% increase. If you take it from the top, to from the 90 to the 60, it's one quarter. It depends just how you put in the numbers. Of course, there are some not only structural savings, there are more and more, of course, also one-off. But you are aware and you know that we focus primarily on structural savings. But of course, we take whatever comes. And there are windfall savings and one-off savings, which, of course, we try to put also into 2015. But Thomas then will work out what means a speedier savings program and what means even what that means on the full line of the 160. We started together with a McKinsey team on a strategic review on all sites and products. We talked that several times. Now we are in the almost fourth year of price reductions on viscose. And some of you are also following almost on a daily basis the movements, the price movements on cotton. Therefore, you may have seen, actually, one can say the crash of cotton, even if we have seen a very nice increase today. Maybe the crash per se came quite too dynamic and too fast as a crash, but I think it is just confirming that what we always say the last 2 years, that we do not understand why the cotton price has moved up that high on the other side of having record high cotton stock, particularly in China, which have further increased in the second quarter. And as soon as the ICAC announced that there may be another 1 million increase in stock, the cotton now really, at least from the future and also from the cash price, came down. Let's see how that works out now for the rest of the year. It is on the one side a good indication, on the other side not so good, but at least the good one is if it stays into November, December, the farmers, American cotton farmers, definitely will decide for much, much less cotton planting. And unfortunately, Robert is not here, but just to say, we have initiated, not only now, but it is just further initiatives on Tencel in order to enlarge and broaden our Tencel sales, our Tencel coverage from textile to non-wovens, and that works perfectly.
So
now I want to hand over to Fritz, who tells you the details on fibers and cotton.
Good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen. We are on page 5 now, and just if you talk about the fiber arena, let's focus again. Peter started already on cotton. And go on the right side, where is this bar chart, and which is already common to you. And here you see that already on the, now getting, if you're talking about the crop 2014, 2015, which will end June next year. There you see that we will have, at the end of the day, the fifth and finally consecutive year where the production exceeds the demand. The good news still, I would say, is that on the production side, we go down further. Mainly China is reducing production quite heavily on cotton. Of course, there is some indication always that India might be the only one which will go now above 6 million tons of cotton production. But recent stories already tell, is that really true? Because now the monsoon delayed a bit the seeding already. And whoever knows? I mean, you know, in cotton, there can always, in terms of production, can always come things which you are not expecting. On the other side, if you see the demand side, of course, this was really a stagnation, so to say. But now it seems with price adjustments coming through that specifically in Asia, where we see growth rates now for the next year to come, 5%, this is ICIC, in China, 6% in India, 8% plus in the rest of the world. This is a positive signal, I would say, because averaging it would be enough another 3% of cotton growth in the demand next year, where with a kind of a price elasticity, cotton will, let's say, break through the resistance now in the demand. Nevertheless, we have already reached by this summer now the 20 million tons of cotton stock, and this will go up as to the prognosis we are having right now by another million ton. And if you see the stock of to use ratio right now, China is having more than 1.5 years of consumption on stock. This is quite heavily, which would, the rest of the world is pretty okay with 55%. But what will happen is that due to restricted import volumes, because now China has enough stocks and they will restrict imports, the rest of the world stocks will go up. And this, of course, will trigger some price adjustments further. And you saw it, the recent price, we are already below 80, now came up a bit, what Peter says. But nevertheless, pressure on cotton prices will remain, because as long as we do not have a stock-to-use ratio on a global base, which is around 50 to 60%, there is always pressure on price. Well, let's go. What does it mean for viscose? Let's go to page 6. On page 6, we see that throughout the year already, viscose is trading on prices below cotton with, let's say, up to 35% now price discount for cotton, for viscose. Despite, of course, we have this utilization premiums because we have a higher productivity of 10%. But this is the system. I mean, right now, I mean, still liquidity issues are in the Chinese industries. You all know China is having 60% of the world total production and they dominate fiber prices. And if there is pressure on liquidity, cash is king, and this is a reaction towards low prices. The good thing, and I would also point out here, is because of this tough environment in China, and more or less nobody really makes money, we can tell it is quite truly, they are losing money, the projects are postponed. We really see hardly any new project on the horizon, and this is a very positive impact to get at least a balance between supply and demand, and overcapacity will be reduced. What is happening on the main raw material, on our pulp? The pulp, you know, that there was the anti-dumping now for 5 years, started in April. Everybody expected, of course, that this would have a much bigger impact than it has. This is always a kind of a judgment. What would happen if this would not have happened? Maybe the pulp price would be below $828 a ton, which is right now the price into China. But the point is, it is people were expecting, and even the Chinese were expecting at this point of time, because of their industry cost within China, which is around $900 a ton, that this would be the level. It's not, it's 830. So nevertheless, it's good that for us that this kind of system has really started and went through, and we see at least some stabilization on the pulp prices, which is then also, of course, a triggering point for the fiber prices. Yeah, on page 7, you see and you hear it on my voice, I'm very, very optimistic about our Denso Jumbo line, which we started, and we're still in the ramp-up, I would say. But I tell you, nobody, even myself not, and I'm a very optimistic gentleman always, that our ramp-up is going so good, and we are already producing pretty close to design capacity. The quality level is very good. The customer feedback we get from outside, the opening of the fiber, the stability, the degree of whiteness, the strength, they are all very happy with this product. And I can tell you, this is really a leap, an absolutely leap forward in terms of the technology, in terms of what Dental can do and how far we are away from anybody in the world right now. Well, we expect 30,000 tons to be produced until the end of the year. I'm also, of course, optimistic right now about this. The investment costs we kept on the, as we all already told you, about 150 million euros, which is $2,200 per ton of capacity. And the construction period with 24 months was absolutely on schedule. Yeah, 140 new jobs created in Lansing. Maybe to some of you not of that big interest, but nevertheless, we are doing value creation. Well, of course, there's a challenge on the market side, no question about that. And Dental is really a very good project and a very good basis. And for instance, for the Dental Natural Connection, we call it, where we go for minority shares with cotton for a lot of applications, denims, home textiles, mattresses, whatever. And this is the function is the issue, and therefore very well received. We, of course, launched further dental products in the knitted apparel. And also very, very important product is this dental reduced flammability, RF we call it, in mattresses, which is DOP 46 for the U.S., for instance, a requirement. And there we have a new product now with a new cost base and with a new property level, which is, I think, very, very, has a very good perspective. Well, Dental face masks, some of you already tried it, which were in Lansing on the Capital Market Day, so not much to say here, but nevertheless, all in all, we got at the index in Geneva last year, we got the award, the marketing award, Lansing, Dental Skin. This is something which is very friendly. Yeah, we also launched in Europe some special wipes now for everyday use, so to say, sweeps it's called, and that goes from disinfecting, refreshing, cleaning your glasses, cleaning your iPhones, whatever kind of instruments you have permanently in your hand, and be always happy to have it cleaned and antibacterial, so to say. Yeah, a lot of projects are moving on because, yes, the challenge is here. We have more capacity, we have more volume, but I think we are a very good, let's say, a situation, and we move forward. Thank you. Now I would like to hand over to Thomas to give you some quantitative data.
Yes. Good morning or good afternoon, whatever on your side is. From my side, I take the opportunity to briefly introduce myself since it is the first time I'm here in at Lansing at the conference call and then the half-year result presentation. After 20 years in the international business, I'm as an Austrian now back, first time working in Austria. I can look back on a 20 years, let's say, finance career in different industry, mainly automotive supply, product engineered products and renewable energy in several countries, Latin America, in the United States, in Europe and in Asia. The last 10 years I worked as CFO, first at Mercedes-Benz, responsible for Belgium, Netherlands and Luxembourg. Afterwards, for Centroterm Photovoltaics, in the photovoltaics business. And the last assignment before Lenzing was with an automotive supplier in the heating and air condition equipment business. Since the 1st of June, I'm now with Lenzing, and I'm looking forward for the challenges, especially in the execution of the excellence program, where the main focus for this and the next year will be. Now let's look on page 9 into the financials, where I briefly would like to guide you through. As mentioned in the summary, our sales for the first half year was 900 million compared to the last year's sales, 940 if you look like for like into it, and 990 if you take the plastic revenue into consideration. This is a minus 4% decline, but if you take into consideration the price decrease from an average sales price of 1.76 to 1.54 with a price of last year, we could have reached 1 billion revenue. And on the other side, a quantitative, or why is the difference not 100 million, but only 40 million? This is because 8% more quantity we have achieved, which is 35,000 tons compared to the last year, first half year. On the cost side, if you look there, you see like for like, our personnel costs are on the same level, taking into consideration that there are positive cost effects normally, like a salary increase of 4%. You have heard from Fritz that we have more employees in the Tensel plant, which normally is also a personnel cost increase. And also our social plan and restructuring cost provisions were slightly increased in the second quarter, which leads to roughly 15 million more personnel costs, but we were able with our saving program to stay on the same level of personnel costs of 153 million. The material costs, like for like, increased by 23 million from 577 to 600 million, which is 4%. Easily, mathematically, you can see 8% volume increase, only 4% material cost increase. Due to our excellence program, we were able to reduce that by half. The other expenses are roughly at the same level, like for like, slightly decreased by minus 3%, which is also due to the fact that our excellence program was good executed. Leads us to an EBITDA for this first half of 92 million and a margin of 10%. Which is for sure not what you are used to, the 30-40%, but taking the price decrease into consideration on the fiber market, it's still an acceptable EBITDA. If then 60 million as our depreciation for half year deducted, then you come to an EBIT of 32 million, which is half of the EBIT of the comparable period last year, leads us to 3.6% EBIT margin. Next page, page 10, you can see the development and what we have promised also, that we will have a stable net financial debt. And you can also see that in the quarter two, we were successful in increasing our operating cash flow and improving the cash flow. If you look in the cash flow from our operating activities, we increased it by 60 million, which is 24% compared to the last year period. And if you look into the free cash flow, we were able to gain a cash flow of 33 million, which is less than the comparable quarter last year. But if you take into consideration that 61 million are out of the plastic sales, it's still an acceptable good free cash flow. The positive cash flow development is even better when you have a look on not only the quarter two, but the half year's figures, which you find on page 28 or 29 in your deck. You will see that the Lansing Group in total for the first year had a cash flow of operations of 72 million. That approximately is the same level as the prior year figure of 71 million. So it could be increased. The free cash flow also being a positive in the first half year with 39.4 million compared to 11.6 million minus in the first half year of 2013. The net financial debt on a stable level, a slightly increased from 500 to 511 due to the fact that, and we can mention it, that the dividend payment of 46 million has a big effect, and also some cash tax payments, interests, and also cash capex payments and investments. A very positive signal is that we were able, with our, I can call it, active working capital management, that our net or the trading working capital decreased by 40 million, which is good sign, and we are permanently working on that. Leading us at the end of the quarter due to a liquidity cushion of 227 million, adding the 290 million not used credit lines, we have a total liquidity cushion of 517 million. Looking on the balance sheet side and the equity ratio, the equity is slightly decreased due to the effect of the payment of the dividend and is leading us to an equity ratio of 46.3%. The net gearing slightly increased due to the slightly increase of the net financial debt to 47.2%. On the next page, similar, you can, what I already mentioned, but I don't go through again, the development of our liquidity from beginning of the year to the end of the second quarter. I go directly to the page 12, the excellence program. As you have heard, and I already mentioned, compared to the beginning and starting of our excellence program, where the average sales price was 176 and the today's average sales price of 1.45, this was a tremendous, let's say, price decrease, and would have been normally 140 million EBITDA, which we have lost. So that was the reason why we also said we have to increase our saving program from 60 to 90 million euro, which is mainly affected measures from the next year are already starting this year, and that the effects are earlier coming, and also a little portion increase in total, so that you can count on this 90 million and a little plus. If you look deeper into it, then you will see that there is roughly 25% personnel cost for the first half year. The other costs in terms of material costs and operational costs as well as SG&As is in total 75%, half-half between material costs and other costs. And leading us at the end of 2015 to our target of 160 million cost savings, structural cost savings mainly, little one-off of, let's say, one-digit million is one-off savings. All the rest is really structural one. And a slightly, let's say, increase is therefore necessary. Like I mentioned, it's 5 million increase in provisions for personnel measures, which is in the Q2 results. So far to the excellence program, now I would like to hand over to Peter to give the outlook and summarizing.
Thomas, many thanks. I'm on the last page of the presentation. Outlook, there is no short-term improvement of the global fiber market. When I mentioned in the last time, two steps forward, one step back, it's almost one step forward and one step back. We stick to a price level of something between 11,800 and 12,000 renminbi. So crossing from the south to the north, the 12,000 would be very, very important, but for the time being, it's not going to happen. Therefore, we're focusing even more vividly and strongly on cost savings for the rest of the year. And as Fritz mentioned before, also marketing, branding, positioning, specialties on Tencel, on Modal, as well as on Owens, particularly on Tencel, broaden the application range on Modal, Push, Micromodal, and Modal Color. Fritz also pointed out already delayed setups. That means no new players. I think that's very important. So we do not expect any change on that. We even see it into 2015 and 2016 somewhat better supply-demand dynamics just because of that. Cotton volatility is going to stay, particularly now with this 30% decrease in prices in the last 5 weeks. We surely will see a technical reaction. Let's see whether we see a tennis ball effect or whether we see some really improvements upwards or maybe even a further decrease down. We only will see that into November, December, when the U.S. farmers, cotton farmers, will decide for the next year's cotton plantation. But when prices are below 70s pound, I think it can be taken as granted there will be not that much cotton this year. Focus on specialties. I mentioned Fritz focusing for the rest of the year on the 30,000 tons production. The campaigns Robert is preparing for Tencel and Modal. Not under preparation. They are already underway. Strategic review is market portfolio review, a product portfolio review, as well as asset footprint review. At the end of the day, we must regain our full cost competitiveness as well as quality and product competitiveness, and that's the purpose of the strategy. Financials, Thomas pointed out, the 90 million on the cost saving, yes, we fully stick to speed and achievement and overachievement even of the 160. And by the way, the 160, please keep in mind that we take 40 million out of 2013 and we add a 60 million for, I'm not talking about the original figures, 60 million for 2014 and 60 million for additional for 2015. So the original plan was by 2016 we should have structural savings of full 160 million per year. Now, if we speed up, that means we are planning to achieve that target earlier, and we're also doing our level best to overdo the 160 million. But don't ask me how much exactly it will be, how much it will be next year. But we only see that we are trying to partly compensate for the price increase. And on the net debt, also, if it is written here 500 million, it also could mean, depending on CapEx as well as EBITDA, 525. But we told you that between 500 plus, but not that much more. Okay? Any questions?
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, at this time, we will begin the question and answer session. Anyone who wishes to ask a question may press star followed by one on their touch-tone telephone. Anyone who wishes to ask a question may press star followed by one anytime. If you're using speaker equipment today, please lift the handset before making your selections. Anyone who has a question may press star followed by one at this time. Please limit yourself to one question only so that everyone has a chance to ask questions. Should there be a time left, we can start a second Q&A session. One moment for the first question, please. And our first question today comes from the line of Matthias Pfeifenberger. Please go ahead.
Good afternoon, Jens, Stephanie. Actually, two questions from my side. Firstly, on pricing, you warned of further risks for fiber prices in general from the cotton price collapse. Now, my question is that really a scenario? I mean, we're on a 35% discount. Viscose prices decreased. You said the pick up in the cotton prices earlier is quite unjustifiable. So is there really more scope for fiber prices to go down? And more specifically, has your year quarter end price been below 1.25, i.e. is prices really on a like-for-like basis going further down? So what do you expect for Q3, or is that only, is that what we've seen in Q2, the move from 1.54 to 1.24, is that only a catch-up in terms of average cycling through?
Well, Matthias, you're right. If sales prices have come down over the last 3 years, almost 40%, I think that's enough. But as we have seen now, a crash, and as I said, is this a tennis ball effect, or maybe cotton may move even further down to the low 60s, but it could also easily go up to the 70s. We don't know. At least cotton now has quite late done that what we expected. It has reacted. I would say just psychologically, yeah. You just have to see that after such a crash, there could be, and of course there is still pricing pressure, but on the other side, we just have seen some very small price movements, 1% the last 3-4 days, and if you just look on the spot price of viscose, it is even quite stable, so. There are three scenarios. It may stay as it is, short of 12,000 renminbi. It may go up a little bit, or we see because of cotton is so low, a little bit a downside. If you ask me to which scenario I would go. I would say, because also after 3 years, the Chinese have realized that at least they must earn their depreciation, and 6 months of losing depreciation is not the same as 3 years of losing depreciation, with somewhat improved supply-demand dynamics, and. We may stay flat.
But you are still, in terms of your specific average pricing, you're still below the 1.25 at the moment, right? 1.52 at the moment, right?
I would not comment on that, but as you have seen, that we are pushing our mix, that we are pushing Tencel, that we Fritz is doing greatly on production and sales of Modal. I think that's answer enough.
Okay, so mix effect. A last one on excellence. I was missing one number, how much you achieved of the 90 million in the first half. And maybe it's a too simplified calculation, but if I take the 4 cents you lost incrementally in pricing in the second quarter, it's like a 10 million quarterly effect, right? 10 million percent on an annual basis divided by 4 for the quarter. And yet, basically, your EBIT declined by 1 million. So where do we see any excellence impact? It's a 10 million pricing-related effect, if I'm not wrong, and you must have been saving a lot more already if the program is really 90 million. I mean, we only have half a year left to achieve that.
So from the 90 million in the first half is 40 million, what you can see, and I tried to explain. If you take just, and you have to compare it to our quarter three, where we started the program, because this is our baseline and not the quarter four or the 1st of January 2014. And if you see there what prices, average prices we had, like I said, with 1.76 and now 1.54, you have a price loss already from 100 million. On the controversy, you have a 15 million quantity positive impact. Then you have normal, let's say, material cost changes of roughly 20. So would have led us to a result on the half year of normally 15 million EBITDA, and we have achieved 91 million EBITDA, which is purely to the fact of the excellence program.
And our next question comes from the line of Peter McKee of Morgan Stanley. Please go ahead.
Thanks very much. Good afternoon, everybody. I've got one real question and a couple of clarifications, if I can, please. Just going back to the pricing number, Thomas, I think at one stage in your commentary you talked about 145. I just wanted to make sure that that was just perhaps a language thing, and you were talking about the 154 average price in H1. You weren't. Or were you trying to indicate that the current price at the end of Q2 or today is 145? So I just wanted to clarify that. Second question, clarification on the cost savings. I think, Peter, you clarified that in your summary at the end, but as it stands today, the cost, we haven't increased the scale of the total cost savings program. We've just brought it forward a little bit in 2014, but the 160, which you're talking about today, includes the 40 million from 2013 and is therefore entirely comparable to the 120 for Excellence 2. That's the second question. And the third question, on the you're talking about these various marketing campaigns and new products in the in Tencel with the launch of the ramp-up of the jumbo plant. If everything else stayed equal, how should we think about the Tencel pricing premium over viscose? So you're launching into non-woven markets, which are traditionally lower price markets. and you're obviously filling a larger quantity. So should we be expecting that pricing premium to decline for a quarter or two or maybe 4 quarters and then start to recover? Or how would you suggest we model that, please?
Okay.
Let me quickly answer the first question, which was is easily answered because it's 1.54, which means 45. So to clarify that, which is the average... 54, like the same mistake like before, sorry.
54, yeah.
Which is on the first page also mentioned. So, and
okay.
This is also how it is at the end of quarter two.
Okay.
Okay, coming to your second question, the scale of the program, I think to repeat it once again, we're talking about the normal or the first part, 40, 60, 60, adding up to 160. Even in the press release, we are saying that we are speeding up the savings program, that we are increasing our savings. Peter, I'm not saying now how much it exactly we will overdo over the 160, but as we have lost another 4 cents in the second quarter,
yeah,
which is on a yearly basis 40 million, but don't take that 40 million as an additional savings, but we have to do more than the 160.
Understood.
Okay. And on the marketing campaign, this is a very nice question from you. I know what you want to hear, but that depends now very clearly on how much we move into non-womens. For the beginning, we have a lot of non-womens, of course, because it is easier to sell. And it depends also on how much it goes into textile, and on textile it depends on how much and how fast we can slowly increase from standard to specialties. But if we talk about that, that's a year-long program.
Yeah.
So it goes without saying that our nice and very heavy premium on tensile, as we already indicated 1 year ago when we told you about that we are starting with the tensile plant,
yeah,
has to go down. So, and you remember at this time we have had 60%, 55 to 60, sometimes even 65%. So we also told you that we are moving down on that, just averaging out.
Would it be fair to assume that decline hasn't yet really begun because you're only just now ramping up the jumbo plant, or are we some way into the decline?
Well, not in the first half, but
right,
we are already now more or less two months in the third quarter. Of course, it has begun.
Okay, thank you.
And our next question comes from the line of Stefan Drobrich of Kepler Cheuvreux. Please go ahead.
Good afternoon, gentlemen. I have a question, actually a couple of questions, but the first question would be on, you mentioned that in the new tensile plant, you will produce in the second half of the year 30,000 tons of tensile. Now, after half a year, you have sold almost 475,000 tons. If we just extrapolate that until the year end and add then the tensile volume, we would get to somewhat like 980,000. Could you give us some indication what you plan to realize from the 30,000 tons? And historically, if I remember correctly, usually there is in China in the second half of the year also some production shortage. Maybe you could comment here. And with the new tensile volume coming on stream, and my colleague just touched it also, would it be fair to assume that average prices stay in Q3 at the Q2 level as also viscose prices have recently recovered a little bit? That would be very nice if you could provide some color here. Thanks.
Well, Stefan, yes, you are right. I mean, this is pure mathematical consideration. I mean, wonderful. But you should know, I mean, in terms of production, there always you have some plant shutdowns, some plant repairs, some plant, let's say, production reduction. And this, for instance, is the case because we have, for instance, in China, we have the Youth Olympic Games right now in Nanjing, and we were obliged to reduce, for instance, just on the month of August, to reduce the whole production by minimum 20%, which we did, yeah. Then we have, of course, another plant shutdown, not of the whole, but this all sums up in SPV of the WestGas carbonization plant, and. But you're right. I mean, if you say 470 times 2 plus 30 would be 970, not 980. And yeah, we are going to this way. But as you know, we should not forget that we have some reduction because there are always some plant shutdowns, which are, of course, in the second half.
Stefan, on the sales prices, as I just mentioned to Peter Mackey, that's a clear also mathematics. If we have now quite a significant volume of Tencel from Lenzing in third quarter, premium and average price in Tencel must go down, clear. And that will go down with immediate effect, as I mentioned, moving a lot of volume into nonwovens as the plant is producing almost at nameplate capacity.
Understood. But if I remember correctly, in the last conference call, it was also mentioned the steep learning curve in Tencel and even a decline in the Tencel price could be offset by the higher efficiency. So despite the lower price, the margin would remain at a healthy level in Tencel. Can you comment here, please?
Yeah, that's something different.
But this is different to the price premium, Stefan. I still remember. Yeah, this is absolutely true. And the learning curve, we started quite high up there, and we see already now a lot of good learnings there. And so this is absolutely in case what I told before, that we are having a very good cost position on the new dental plant in Lenzing. This is absolutely still the case, but this is of course not has to do with the price premium. Yeah.
Okay. I mean, with the cost side, I mean, I've been looking at your operating costs in the first half of the year, and I was just surprised to see in the dissolving wood pulp costs they increased 8% year over year. I understand that some of that is definitely volume related. However, if we look at the FX development and dissolving wood pulp prices, I mean, not only in US dollar terms, they declined, I believe, by 1 or 2%, but the US dollar declined versus the euro by 5%. So could it be that we see here in Q2 the higher cost dissolving pulp inventory, and then in the second half of the year the better or cheaper dissolving wood pulp will be reflected in your operational results?
This is a very smart question, Stefan. But there are more parts to answer. We have seen a very, very strong increase in wood prices in the first half, which only came to a leveling off then starting in June and now July and August. That would mean from the wood price perspective, we may see some savings in the second half if everything stays where it is. On the other side, we just put some laurels on our pulp guys because they are really running very, very good production, and we almost had a record now in July on both plants. So that means if we put everything together, we have increased our productivity in both pulp plants, particularly in Baskov, very, very much, which is adding, of course, more wood consumption. So the FX on the Czech krona, we have hedged the Czech krona, means purchasing of wood, and the Czech krona has been quite stable. And if you refer to the dollar, yes, but that happened just recently and was not an issue in, I would say, in the first 6 months.
Okay, good. I'll come back later. Thanks.
And our next question comes from the line of Behat Haas of Wiener Privatbank. Please go ahead.
Thank you. Just most of my questions have already been answered. One minor one left. On the working capital, I think you said previously that there was a slight problem, let's say, with the receivables, that people took a little bit longer to pay, and now they've come down again. Is that just a timing issue, or did the situation already become better? Thank you.
No, there's no change in terms of how accounts receivable are paid. It's the same days outstanding measures which we have. Since I was not here the last phone calls, I cannot comment if we mentioned that there were payment problems.
No.
So
no.
I can just say that the days outstanding is the same level like it was before.
Yeah.
And no further.
No.
But we are actively managing receivables as well as inventory. And by that, as Thomas mentioned, we achieved, as indicated and as expected, a savings in particularly in trading working capital.
Okay, thank you.
And our next question comes from the line of Bernd Maurer of RCB. Please go ahead. Mr. Maurer, are you able to hear us?
Yes, sorry. Now you're also able to hear me.
Go ahead. Thank you, sir.
Yeah.
Go ahead. Ask your question.
Good afternoon. I apologize. My question refers to your portfolio review. Can you give more light into your strategic option? In which fields are you exactly looking? Is it about taking out capacity? If yes, is it, I think it's more related to Europe than to your Asian production sites. What measures do you look for? Is it possible to relocate equipment from Austria to Asian sites? What are you looking for together with the guys from McKinsey you mentioned before?
So if we're talking about product portfolio review, that means, as you know, a viscose line stays a viscose line and cannot be changed into a tensile line and vice versa.
Mm-hmm.
So that's very important. Therefore, now we have four tensile plants, three producing specialities, and now Lenzing on the standard. And I would say without any material changes in that perspective, that will stay. However, we have to look as nonwovens is growing very, very strongly, and we enjoy a very nice premium on nonwovens, where we can produce more nonwovens, how logistically we can improve the supply chain, how close we want to go to, and how close we want to grow with certain big players, is it in Asia, in Europe, and in U.S., as Fritz mentioned, this Eurocell. This is a nonwovens fiber for the European market. Of course, must be produced in Europe. Do we have enough volume there? It also depends how, as Peter Mackey asked, how much tensile nonwovens we want to produce and where. That's product portfolio review. But in particular, as we are selling from each viscose plant in Lenzing, in Indonesia, and out of China, nonwovens to the local market, particularly, in Indonesia, we are exporting heavy nonwovens. One full line is dedicated to nonwovens. We have to think about, are we not increasing nonwovens in Lenzing? When are we going to further invest in a Modal debottlenecking, and where are we doing that? We all know that Modal CapEx or Modal debottlenecking is very expensive. Are we putting that, are we trying to get up that on a second place or on a second operation, or are we doing that in Lenzing? This is all part of a product portfolio review.
Okay, thank you.
And our next question is a follow-up question from Mr. Matthias Pfeifenberger. Please go ahead.
Yes, could I just firstly add on that? I mean, you're talking about expanding. I guess the portfolio review is also about cutting down. So will you shut down textile viscose in Europe or in Austria there, or can you just shift to nonwoven? Is that so easy? That's the first follow-up.
Mr. Pfeifenberger, you're always asking such nasty questions. Yes, of course. It also depends on competitiveness. And of course, in particularly on the viscose, we have to be clear if, as I mentioned before, if this one price now we have in viscose in China is the new price for the next 5 years, we definitely have to look whether it makes sense to produce so much textile viscose in China. Or maybe we do, as I mentioned before, we do more nonwovens, producing nonwovens for Europe and nonwovens for Korea and Japan.
Yeah, okay. Another one would be, in the past you showed some helpful charts in terms of capacity additions in viscose in China. We don't have those charts anymore, but maybe you can give us a feel of what the capacity hikes are. I mean, we're at very high utilization, still we're having no pricing power, quite something I haven't seen very often in industry. So what is going on with the capacity incrementally?
Well, we mentioned that several times that as per the new strategy since 1.5 years, viscose is not in the agenda unless we can make 12% to 15% EBITDA margin.
No, in terms of your competitors in China, are they still ramping up, and by how much?
Yeah, well, the Indians have just recently in their first quarter financials indicated that they have delayed the startup of their other two machines into the second half. Actually, we were under the assumption that they are already running, so that's very helpful. These are particularly the two machines where they can produce Modal. So that means there is not much additional Modal capacity on the market. Second, we also know from Sattery that Sattery is somewhat in delay of with their machines that have been four machines with 50,000 tons each capacity. We expected that all these capacities would come on stream in the first half. Now they switch it over maybe 4 to 5 quarters. Also very good. We also know from all the mills in China that the local authorities, the Environmental Protection Agency, has forced some of these mills, is it in Xinjiang or in Weifang or all the plants, to shut down. Also very important for the long-term supply-demand balance. So all in all, and I think the most important, and that's maybe you're referring to, is that we are not seeing speculative investments in Viscos. Why? Because the authorities have taken Viscos investments off their preferred investment list. That's one. And the other one is, I think that the Chinese are no fools at the end of the day. They want to make money. And if you can't make a margin on Viscos, I think at the end of the day, they say, okay, why I should then produce Viscos?
Okay, but would you say overall that capacity adds are still in this 10 to 15% threshold, or is that now below?
Oh, that's much below. As you remember, I said that last year we may have seen 350,000. I think this year something between 250 and 300, and that in a market in China with 3.5 million to going close to 4 million tons of capacity. And next year, I would say even less of that.
Yeah, okay. A last nasty one, and that Mr. Weniger is not going to like. On the current pricing for Tencel, and let's say when you are done with lowering the premiums to have the market digest these incremental volumes, is the Tencel investment earning its cost of capital?
Yes, for sure, Matthias. I mean, otherwise we wouldn't have invested. So this was not a nasty question, Matthias, frankly speaking. No, that's clear. I mean, we, as I told already, our cost position on that plant is not comparable to the other smaller plants. This is the reason. I mean, we have a capacity, a scale of times four compared to the other lines, yeah? And this makes it, yeah? And, of course, this kind of products do not go to the real, real high specialization, specialized segments. That goes more into the medium specialized segments. And this is why the premium is not that high compared to a microfiber or to a Tencel A100 fiber, that's clear. But nevertheless, with a better cost position on the margin base, which is the most important thing, is we are earning our investments, of course.
Question okay, thanks.
And our last question for today is also a follow-up question from Mr. Stefan Trubrich of Kepler Chevreux. Please go ahead.
All right. I have a question regarding the cash flow. Looking at the half-year cash flow and particularly Q2, we see cash interest and cash taxes to decline considerably year over year. I would appreciate a comment here. Also, we've seen the notes and you mentioned that you increased the provisions for personnel restructuring. If I remember correctly, in the first quarter, you mentioned something like 20 million of cash out on restructuring. How much has been included in the Q2 cash flow, and or is some cash out on restructuring also planned for the second half of the year? Thank you.
So first part, personnel costs in the cash flow. Yes, like I said, there is 5 million more provision than previously seen, and as you know, all the restructuring provision which we built in the last year on top was 19 million to the 17 which have been already in our balance sheet. And on the cash side, tax and interest payment for the next half year, interest for sure stay the same. Taxes, as long as you also know, slightly increased because we had the tax audit, and this we also have to pay certainly, and there will be a slightly increase, but let's say single digit, and the other for restructuring in total, like we said, it's probably on top, because one is the provision for personnel, On top, we had the maximum of also single digit 9-10 million what is needed in total for achieving the savings. All the rest is a net saving on costs and needs no cash out.
Okay, and just to come back to the net debt target of around 510 million, what Mr. Untersberger said, 520-530, and we are now at 515. And if I look at the H1 operating cash flow of 103 million, and we had 40 million free cash flow, and now I would say with an EBITDA potential in H2 of another 100 million and only 60 million CapEx outstanding, is there a chance that we end up with net debt below 500?
Yeah. A lot of assumptions from your side. So mathematically, 90 million in the first does not mean automatically 90 million EBITDA in the second. Depreciation with your 60, this is quite stable. They are in the first half. The second, it will increase also due to the fact, as you know, the Dental activation and also Dental depreciation of the new line will start. That's why it will increase. So there's a little bit less to your figure. And what you said in terms of working capital, let's say for sure, actively we are managing our net working capital and especially the trading working capital. But you know there is all effects, payables, receivables, and inventory to take into consideration. We are, let's say, heavily working on that. But one or the other effects are also, let's say, like factoring is a one-term exercise which you cannot do all the time. So we are, let's say, quite positive to keep the level to increase and to make it better than the quarter we have shown is not really possible.
Okay, thanks.
So there are no further questions from the phone lines. I'd like to pass the call back to you guys for any kind of closing statements.
If there are no further questions, many thanks for the questions you have come forward. Many thanks for your participation. We are looking forward to see you in 3 months or to listen again to your questions 3 months again. We will do our level best, and thanks a lot. Goodbye.